Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000 of you.
They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines
that focus on the facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Happy Good Friday, Nigeria, Lagos, well done. Hoping that you're having a quiet one, a reflective one, a sober one. Here's a first hard fact of the day. 106 new COVID confirmations yesterday. That's 9 more cases than last week, Thursday. COVID is still kicking and screaming, so please take your precautions, limit your movements outside, wear a mask and give gap, and also wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as you can. Second hard fact of the day, 169,206 Lagosians have been vaccinated. They had been vaccinated as of yesterday. Those are the numbers from the Commissioner of Health, Akin Abayomi. Here's Lagos Vaccine League table. Etiosa is still on top with 17,603 vaccinated. Lagos Mainland is second with 16,034 vaccinated. Ikeja is third with 15,321 vaccinated. Now, we've been getting encouraging news about the vaccines, by the way. Remember, I told you how people who recovered from COVID have been reporting some terrible long-term effects. I told you that, right? Some of them reported headaches for months, headaches that last for months, constant fatigue, breathlessness, and reduced lung capacity. Something called brain fog. You know, that's when you can't concentrate, you can't think, you can't form memories. And then there were people who were having joint pain. I told you about my friend who got so many blood clots that he needed surgery. I told you, right? So these are some of the long-term effects for people who have recovered from COVID. And now it seems like when people like that take the vaccine, their symptoms disappear. That's what the research is showing. People with long COVID are saying that their symptoms are disappearing after taking the vaccine. It's great stuff. Meanwhile, in the US, they've been doing trials on the Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. Remember that Dr. Onyema Obuagu told us that when he was on the show this week on Monday. And so far, it is 100% effective. The trials are still ongoing, but the results are very good. And the experts think that before the end of the year, some countries will start administering some of the vaccines to children. But today, I'm just administering hard facts. It's the Big Three Global Edition. Let's talk about global vaccine politics. There's a lot of politics going on there. And then let's talk about the French company that just got control of Ghana's biggest port. And then let's talk about Visa, BlackRock and Tesla all embracing cryptocurrency. After that, as usual for a Friday, we're going to bring you Public Square, and then we're going to wrap up the show with music and moments with Ifeanyi and Sam. Of course, news updates will come your way at the top of every hour, but let's get started with the Big Three Global Edition. Lagos, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
The Big Three Global Edition on Hard Facts.
Is China getting its vaccine diplomacy right? Are corrupt leaders selling Africa to the highest bidder? And is the global financial system embracing cryptocurrency? This is the Big Three Global Edition. Let's get into the stories. Now, Fridays is our opportunity to leave Nigeria alone and look at the biggest stories in the entire world, even though sometimes the big stories are still Nigerian stories, right? Or they also affect Nigeria. Our first story is about vaccine diplomacy. China says that for now, you can only visit China if you have gotten a Chinese vaccine. So China has produced 5 different COVID-19 vaccines, and they are exporting 3 of them, including Sinovac. Before now, the Chinese government has been selling and donating to countries, more or less with no strings attached. But now, there's a catch for those who say no. China says that they are reopening their borders to people from 20 different countries, but only to travelers who can prove that they took a Chinese vaccine. Now, this is a new type of policy. Before now, we were talking about countries only letting people in who are vaccinated, period. The brand of vaccine that they got doesn't matter. But now China is saying that Chinese brands are nothing. So basically, if somebody wants to do business in China, one of my brothers, you know, okay dollar, okay million, JJ Tubatafia from China, in the next few months, they may have to reject the other brands and hold out until they can get their hands on Sinovac or another Chinese brand. The question then is, what happens if their country doesn't have Chinese vaccines? So again, Nigeria, for example, we have AstraZeneca. We could be getting Pfizer very soon. So does that mean that when China starts letting Nigerians in, nobody from here will actually be able to go? Now, I've said vaccine diplomacy again and again and again. Why it's called vaccine diplomacy is because when a country has a vaccine and shares it with other countries in exchange for influence, that's what it's called. That's what vaccine diplomacy is. It's not a new thing. I have to mention that. Both the US and the USSR did it during the Cold War. And now China has been trying to do that. So, for example, they gave some vaccines to Algeria last month, free of charge. And in return, Algeria promised to support China's foreign policy and to defend China on human rights issues. So you see how that works, yeah? Russia is doing something similar. So they're giving, Russia is giving the Sputnik vaccine to different South American countries. And in exchange, they want contracts for nuclear power plants and other infrastructure. In fact, the only world power that is not playing the vaccine diplomacy game right now is the USA. And that's only because Joe Biden says he wants to focus on vaccinating every American first. But at the same time, America is striking deals with other countries to manufacture the Pfizer vaccine. Countries like India and Japan. And experts think that once enough Americans have been vaccinated, the US will start exporting their own reserves as well. But let's come back to China. The problem that they are having with their vaccine diplomacy is that a lot of countries are not choosing their vaccine. And it's because of a lot of reasons. Remember earlier on, countries did not trust the vaccine data from China because it wasn't very complete or it wasn't transparent. And so up until now, a lot of countries have not approved the Chinese vaccines for use. So some analysts are saying that this China's new visitor policy is an attempt to force countries to start using their vaccine. What do you think? Do you think it can work? 0700-993-993-993. We've also got 01465-7190, but that number is for women. 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about China saying that only visitors who have gotten the Chinese vaccine will be let in? What do you think about them giving vaccines to countries in exchange for international support? And what do you think about vaccine diplomacy, period? Emmanuel is in Victoria Island. Let's talk to him first. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, President Sandra.
Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The most updated woman. Thank you for updating me, Nigerians. I actually want to talk about this China product.
Mm-hmm.
People don't trust them anymore because of the vaccine. Some said the China sickness. So people don't trust them anymore.
Mm.
Before their vaccine will come out, even in Nigeria, they have their own. Everybody will start producing, so their own will just be useless.
Mm.
Don't want any of their... The Nigerian government should not just sign any contract with them. You don't want their, even though it's good or bad, I don't just know.
You don't trust them.
I don't even want anything signing again. It's too much.
Ah.
I want to take over. See, they are really competing with the Americans.
But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with them competing with America?
They want to compete. They can't compete with America.
Why not? Why can't they compete with America?
Because they're not really straightforward. Honestly, they are hackers. They are this, that, that. They are not themselves. They fight.
Mm.
They really want to be reckoned with. Understand? But you know, they are just taking things that I don't like. I don't like the Chinese.
Emmanuel, thank you very much for calling. Friday in Ibole Ring. How are you? Welcome.
Good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. See, when you said it now, I was just laughing, Sandra. Do you know why? Because this is a situation we find ourselves. Me personally, China, it's not only about vaccine. Most of the things that are coming from China, sorry to say, they are just fake.
Ah.
I'm telling you, see, if you see China has said, Sandra, I work in a place where something are coming through this country.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Okay, see, Sandra, you will see a container, 40 feet container, 40 by 10.
Okay.
It's full of this thing that they used to clean here. What is it called?
Earbuds? Cotton earbuds?
Uh-huh. Sandra, yes. Sandra, you put it in your ear, they will pull out.
That doesn't mean it's fake now.
See, Sandra, I'm telling you, there was a time, evil charger. You put charger on the light to charge your phone, the next thing you hear is boom.
But do you know that the phone that you have in your hand now is most likely made in China? A lot of the Apple phones are made in China. A lot of gadgets are made in China. So it depends on the specifications you ask for.
Sandra, you can't go to America and America produce fake things for you.
You can, it depends on what you ask the manufacturer to do. It depends on what you tell the manufacturer to do.
America company will not do it. They know that if you spoil their company, it will spoil their image. See, China personally, for me, they are just, anything you want them to do for you, either fake or good, they will produce it. They don't even care because they know that we Africa, we like cheap things. See,
so the problem is us, the Africans, who are going there to ask for cheap things.
Yeah, that is the problem. That is, I'm telling you.
But what has that got to do with their vaccines now? What has that got to do with them saying...
If they bring vaccine from China to Nigeria, even the government make it compulsory.
Mm.
Instead of me taking it, I will run out of this country. I prefer to take Ghana.
Government
China
will not make it compulsory, but China
I'm not
is
using
saying.
It for example,
I know, but China is saying that if you want to come to their country, you have to show that you have taken the Chinese vaccine.
Yes, China, Sandra. Do you know that we have a lot of China here in Nigeria?
Uh-huh.
One country go and produce our own vaccine. Then China tell China people that before you come to Nigeria, you must take Nigeria vaccine.
Until then, this is what we have at the moment. So what do you think? Do you think that it can work?
For me, it will work now because we Nigeria, we don't have any option. China is our second home.
Okay.
After China, it's Niger. It's China and Niger now that is Nigeria's second home.
Wonderful. Friday, thank you very much for calling. Kingsley Nikoyi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good to have you on the show. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. What I want to say is that if China should give that kind of policy for someone to come to that country, what if every country should give that kind of policy?
How
China people are going to go enter someone's country without taking that vaccine? Taking the vaccine.
That's a good point.
Because the thing is very stupid to make that kind of policy. You two used to go to someone's country.
Mm-hmm.
So if the other people's country say that, okay, you have to take that vaccine before coming to that country, things is not going to work well.
All right. Thank you very much, Kingsley, for calling us. Kingsley says, what if every country does the same thing? Before you come into my country, you must take the vaccine produced by my country. What then? If you just joined the show, hello to you. Good afternoon and happy Good Friday. It's 19 minutes past three, and I told you that China says for now, you can only visit their country if you have gotten a Chinese vaccine. They've produced five different COVID-19 vaccines. They're exporting three of them, including Sinovac or Sinovac. Before now, the Chinese government has been selling and donating to countries more or less with no strings attached. But now there's a catch for those countries that say no. China says they're reopening their borders to people from 20 different countries, but only to travelers who can prove that they took a Chinese vaccine. Now, this is new. This hasn't happened before. Before, countries only allowed people into their country when they were vaccinated, period. So whether it's vaccination against polio, yellow fever, any, whenever you're traveling, just present records of your vaccine. They didn't care what kind of, what brand the vaccine was. The brand did not matter. But now China is introducing this new thing where they're saying Chinese brands are nothing. So if you want to do business in China in the next few months, they may have to reject the brands. You may have to reject the brands that are not Chinese. Or you wait until you get Sinovac or the other Chinese brands. Now, what happens to people who are in Nigeria, for instance, who want to go to China for business? In Nigeria, we have AstraZeneca. We're also getting Pfizer. So that means that if it's time to go back to China to go and do your business as a Nigerian, you won't be able to go because you don't have access to the Chinese vaccines yet. So how will this work? And there's a lot of reasons the countries are not taking the Chinese vaccines yet. I told you that countries don't trust the vaccine data from China. I told you that China hasn't been very upfront about their data, haven't been very transparent. So up until now, a lot of countries have not approved the vaccines from China for use. So this, their new visitor policy, is an attempt to force countries to start using their vaccines. Do you think it can work? Kenny is in Ikeja. Let's talk to Kenny real quick. Hello, Kenny.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. You see, I think it's a smart move by the Chinese government.
Okay.
Very smart move.
Okay.
I also want to think that they've done their homework very well because if you're not taking that may chase more people, more businessmen from them. But at the same time, we want to ask ourselves: can the Chinese government do without external investors? Maybe not. Maybe yes. But can external investors do without Chinese? Maybe no. Especially African countries. So at the end of the day, you are left with two options.
Mm-hmm.
Either to let your business crumble or you manage it wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
or you end up going for what they want so that you can continue doing business with them.
Mm.
You know, I think it's a very smart move, but then it has a two-way thing if the care is not taken for them. You know, that's my thing.
All right, Kenny, thank you very much. Now, China's population as of 2019 was 1.398 billion. So they could probably do business with themselves. Now, can the world survive without China? As the global lockdowns proved, we can't. Because the world is made in China. So we can't survive without China. Now, what this could mean is business communities in different countries could begin to pressure their governments to approve the Chinese vaccine just so that they can do business there. Or they can find some other way to fight this. Because I don't know if it's okay for a country to force you, basically, to take their vaccine. I don't know. Remy Nakoka, hello, welcome.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. I think China ought to be the last country to come up with this kind of policy
going by how the virus came up, I think it was first seen in Wuhan in China.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people accused China of creating a bioweapon and all that. And going by that theory and this policy, you like to detain the same somehow. So you get.
Okay.
Okay, the question is, supposing I've been vaccinated with either of the vaccines so far, and I want to trade with China, are they going to vaccinate me again with their own stuff or what? Sandra?
Are they going to do what?
Supposing I've been vaccinated with either AstraZeneca or Pfizer, and I want to trade with China, for example. So am I to be vaccinated again? Just because I want to trade with China.
No, you stay in your country and maybe find it. Find a delegate to do it for you, or do it over the phone or via Zoom. Just don't come into their country to do it.
Oh, can someone be vaccinated twice with different...
I don't know. I'll have to ask a doctor that question. I honestly don't know.
Because I can remember Trump accused China at the point.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I think by now, China should even pretend as if they don't have intention of doing this. Because doing this seemed like there's something just not balanced. See, you get China and Sandra.
Okay, all right.
The acquisition so far and what is playing out now seemed like something happened somehow.
Well, it is fitted into conspiracy theories, I'll give you that. Thank you, Remy, for calling. Let's talk to Bahomi in Ikeja. Hello, Bahomi. Bahomi, are you there? Bahomi, my homie, are you there? No. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
John from Interjilaki.
John, welcome.
Thank you. Hey, Sandra, this issue of vaccine and corona, I hope that it will not be long. Let them tell us the secret and everything that is hidden behind this coronavirus before we talk about the vaccine. I don't blame China anyway. I like their policy. Since if you didn't take the vaccine, you are just not allowed to enter.
Yeah, that's
it's
all.
Not that, it's not that they are going to jail you for 14 years or 7 years for not taking the vaccine. Like as I heard yesterday, that if you don't register with NIN, in your own country, then you're facing jail term of 7 or 14 years. It is well, though.
John, thank you very much for calling. We need to take a break, Lagos. After the break, we'll move on to our second story.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.
It's 3:32 and there's a growing scandal in France about a company that is taking over ports in West Africa through bribes. That's our second story. The company is Bolloré Africa Logistics, a French firm. They run 18 port terminals across West Africa. But right now, there's a court case in France about how Bolloré gets those deals. The company has now confessed on the record that it uses bribes. So take, for example, Togo. Bolloré wanted control of the port in Lomé. So back in 2010, they admit to bribing President Nasingbe. He was running for re-election and he wanted to hire a consultancy to help him win. And so the company paid for the consultancy. They confessed to this in court. This same company now also has a concession at the Tema port in Ghana. Remember when we talked about Tema a few weeks ago? It's about to become the busiest port in West Africa. But now the press has found an old government report showing how Bolloré got a deal for the ports that is, quote, gravely detrimental to the government and people of Ghana, end quote. So this deal was done under the previous president, John Mahama. And here are some of the details. First, it's a joint venture between Bolloré and the government. The government was supposed to get 30%, but secretly reduced it to 15%. The contract was awarded in secret with no tender process for competitors to bid. The company got an $800 million tax holiday. Now, this was based on the company investing an agreed amount, but they ended up only investing less than half the amount. And the revenue that the company was supposed to pay the government for the concession itself was reduced by $4.1 billion. Meanwhile, the company was given monopoly over handling of containers. So that's the scandal buzzing right now across West Africa. As in, Togo allegedly, so in Ghana. Now, I told you that it was the previous Ghanaian president who signed this deal. But what's the current president saying about the deal? He's not saying anything. Nana Akufo-Addo, he has never addressed the scandal. Instead, he has worked with Bolloré, appointed people to the joint venture. So the allegation right now is that the new government simply joined the deal. Now, this is just one company, but we hear similar stories all over Africa. And some observers are worried that there's a new scramble for Africa going on and that the current leaders are simply giving the continent away at next to nothing for personal gain. But I've heard other people who have said that this is not a scramble for Africa. They say that these companies are adding value. They're creating capacity in Africa that governments have failed to do. Yes, some of the deals are too lopsided, but that's the price you pay when you need foreigners to clean up your mess and get your country running. And if there's corruption, is that the fault of the companies taking advantage or the governments who are ready to entertain the corruption? In Ghana, Bolloré was given this contract without a tender. The government did not allow anybody else to bid. What if somebody else could have given them a better deal? The people of Ghana will never know. So where do you stand in this debate? Do you think that government corruption is enabling a new scramble for Africa? Or do you think, nah, this is not a scramble for Africa? These companies are adding value. They're creating capacity that the governments in Africa failed to create. 01465-7190. 01465-7190. That's our number for women. 01465-7190. 0700-993-993-993. We've got Uche on the line first. Uche is in Ikeja. Hello, Uche.
Hey, Sandra. How you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Yeah. I wish you a good Friday.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, Sandra, let me comment on the first
story.
Topic.
Okay.
Now, oh, what a funny word. China, of all countries, who should actually be apologizing to the rest of the world?
Imagine.
For bringing this disaster on us, my sister. Okay, can you imagine? Can you imagine the temerity?
But
the audacity?
But they're kind of behaving like America, aren't they? This is the kind of thing America would pull as well.
No, but even America would not be this cruel. America still have, you know, to some extent, they have a human face. China brought this virus, you know, to us, to the whole world. Now they are giving us condition. Oh, if we must come to their country, we must take their own vaccine. What impudence! It's a terrible thing, you know. And Sandra, you know the worrying thing?
What?
Some other countries outside Africa may want to, you know, flex their muscles and say, no, to hell with you guys. But we in Africa here, we'll be running headers-skaters trying to see how we can please them. Before you know it now, we'll start begging them, give us the vaccine so that we can take and visit your countries. Can't we call their bluff?
I don't think even other countries can call their bluff because, my guy, the world is literally made in China.
Look, Sandra.
See what happened when there was global lockdown now?
I agree with you.
The world couldn't move.
Yes, but Sandra, before China came, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the world didn't stop. We still had other alternatives. How come everything is now and must come from China?
Because it's cheaper.
Yes, it's cheaper. But then again, if they are forcing us to do what obviously we can't do, can't we begin to look elsewhere the world must not start and end with China. They should be the one apologizing to the rest of the world, saying, look, we know we put this on you guys. Mm. We are sorry. Now they're giving us condition. And now it also shows that, look, Sandra, conspiracy theories and all that. Who knows if they deliberately introduced this virus to the world to produce this vaccine? It's a possibility. I only just wait for this country, Nigeria, because Nigeria will be first among the, you know, on queue now to start taking. My sister, have a nice day.
Uche, thank you for calling. I doubt it, though. I don't know. I don't think Nigeria will be the first in queue to beg. Augustine, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi, Augustine.
I was listening to everybody commenting on China and the vaccine and the blockade. Well, someone mentioned that America is good said. Mm-hmm. I don't believe so. America is not China. Beyond that, Nigeria should be aware of the treatment China gets to people that are stuck over there, women, other places. How they were treated like second-class citizens.
Mm.
How they were treated like different language, like monkeys, left outside in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
After all the business, our leaders gave to China over here in Nigeria.
Hmm.
The type of, how should I put this? The type of authority they have here in Nigeria.
Hmm.
I live in New York. They don't act like that in New York, or they will never act close to that. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to go to China if you don't want to take your vaccine.
All right, you don't have to go to China if you don't want to take their vaccine, Augustine says. Thank you, Augustine, for calling. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, what's your name?
Yeah, this is Akibe from Pepe.
Welcome, Akibe. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are talking about China.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Akibe? Oh, I'm sorry. Call back if you can. Kevin in Surulere, hello.
Yes, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I vote front at politicizing health matters, especially. When Donald Trump was referring to it as the Chinese virus,
mm-hmm.
some of us frown at it.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy about it because a pandemic or a disease can break out from any country.
Right.
After all, it was in this country that Lassa fever started from.
That's right.
The Spanish flu started from one way around Europe there.
Mm-hmm.
We have had different kinds of diseases across globes.
Mm-hmm.
So what China has just done now has shown that politics are creeping into this and it's going to be in a very bad place.
Mm.
I hope it does not backfire. I hope other countries does not take a clue from this and start asking for their own type of vaccine before they come to their country.
Mm.
That is the politics of it.
Mm.
The other side of it is the interest. I keep telling people, every country is about their own interest. Nobody send you a message.
Mm-hmm.
Why you sit down here and say, someone's come and help you and do this? You wait fire. Every country, China is not interested in what you are thinking or saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they have laid down for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my evil brothers, forget all this talk we are talking here. They will still go because you can't avoid China.
Mm-hmm.
The world is moving around because China has decided to move their own country forward.
Mm.
Most of the things we are using today is coming from there.
Right.
And it does not mean that it is fake because it's coming from. It is what you go and request for, they will give to you.
That's right.
America, you are talking about today, you also get their own this thing from China. And they are even owning China. So that is the interest there, and that is why I'm saying that every country should buckle up and keep up. Nigeria should not be sleeping. We are sleeping too much and snoring. So I don't blame China. That's the interest, and that's what every country stands for. But the politics in it is my worry and concern. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. All right, let's bring you our final story on the show today. That it's still China, but this one's a bit on the positive side. The Chinese Central Bank is testing their own cryptocurrency now. That's our third story. They're calling it the e-renminbi. Renminbi, actually. Renminbi. The e-renminbi. Okay. They're testing it out in Shenzhen and Shanghai. Now, China believes that cryptocurrency is good for government. They believe that crypto allows transparency because every transaction is recorded and tracked. So if the government knows who owns every wallet, they will know who is sending money to whom. Then there's also the global strategy. Analysts think that China has seen how crypto is exploding worldwide. They want to dominate it. So people are predicting that China may eventually start giving its loans to other countries in e-renminbi. So there's a chance, there's a big chance that this could make the e-renminbi a global competitor to Bitcoin. Now, I'll tell you more about this, but we've got to take a quick break, bring you a message for our sponsors. They're the ones who are bringing you this third story. But yeah, that's China. And China is not even alone this week. Visa announced that they've started performing some settlement operations in cryptocurrency. That's also happening. After you've paid for a service with your card on your app, settlement is how the money is actually moved from your bank to the vendor's bank. And now, apart from using fiat currency, Visa is also using USDC. USDC is a cryptocurrency pegged to the dollar that runs on the Ethereum blockchain. So this is a big move because suddenly, one of the world's biggest payment companies is using cryptocurrency. You know Visa that makes your ATM cards. Same one. And speaking of payments, PayPal made their own announcement a day later. From now on, their customers in the US will be able to pay vendors worldwide using crypto. So now a US-based PayPal user can link their crypto wallet to their PayPal account and use it to pay at checkout. So it's looking increasingly like the biggest players in global financial systems are accepting cryptocurrency as a part of life. Now, we know that lots of central banks have been cautious about cryptocurrency. We even had the Nigerian CBN say that they believe that crypto can help criminals hide their transactions. But the Chinese central bank is disagreeing. They are saying that crypto makes transactions easier to track if a central bank is organized enough to work with the crypto exchanges to share the data about wallet ownership. Because remember, the exchanges know the person that is using a card or a bank account to fund a crypto wallet or to withdraw from a crypto wallet. There's no anonymity at that point. So if anonymity isn't really an impossible problem to solve, the only remaining issues for central banks is control. Cryptocurrencies are decentralized, unlike fiat currencies. So a central bank cannot control the money supply by printing more or printing less. And it's all pretty interesting to watch play out, to be honest with you. So the question is, should central banks fight crypto because they can't control its supply? Or should they do what China is doing and create their own cryptocurrencies? Or should they just accept that maybe this era of centralized money supply control is coming to an end? And as long as governments adapt to the new normal, it should be fine. What do you think? Which direction do you think that central banks should go in? The China direction of creating their own cryptocurrencies, the American direction of allowing crypto but regulating it, or the CBN direction of stopping banks from serving crypto exchanges? 0700-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. Before I take your calls, let's listen to our sponsors on this segment of Hard Facts.
Need to save for a new car, house rent, or your next vacation, or be financially ready to get yourself a COVID vaccine next year? Let Zinvest Aspire keep you in check. Need low-risk investment option with attractive rates? Zinvest High Yields is your best bet. Zcrest Investment Managers, Zinvest, is a SEC-licensed asset management company. At Zinvest, professional asset managers with industry expertise dedicate time into preserving your wealth. Zinvest has a web platform that enables you invest in a range of investment products that offers you good returns. Visit www.zinvest.com.ng to get started. Zinvest, demystifying wealth from creation to distribution for all.
So we Which direction do you think central banks should go? The China direction of creating their own cryptocurrencies, the American direction of allowing crypto but regulating it, or the CBN direction of stopping banks from serving crypto exchanges? What do you think about PayPal allowing crypto to be a source of payment? You know, crypto for checkout and PayPal doing settlements in crypto. 0700-993-993-993. Our third story on Big 3 Global is a business story brought to you by Zcrest. Zcrest is an asset management company. Let's talk to Paul in Satellite Town. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
First, permit me to fully appreciate the great work you're doing. You're providing information to us, and we fully appreciate this.
Thank you, Paul.
Very quickly, I think I would touch on 3 points, but very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. The first one is about the Chinese story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually shocked to see China going this route. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an affront to the entire world, and I think the world needs to see how they can slow down these guys. I mean, we all know the story about COVID, how it came in, and we're hearing about Wuhan. Mm. And today, coming with a policy that is, to me, directed again at promoting your own product, really, it's something I think the world needs to look at very critically. Of course, I do know that in terms of supply chain, value chain, as you rightly mentioned,
mm-hmm.
China has been very instrumental to the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's high time that we begin to look at other alternatives, because we can't just continue to rely on these people. One day, they will just hold the entire world at ransom, like it's beginning to look like.
Mm.
That's one. The second story about the Bolloré you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I have an idea of the entire sub-region because I move around a lot.
Fantastic.
What I find interesting is, I know they are very strong in French-speaking countries because of it's a French company.
Mm-hmm.
But to see it now playing out in Ghana, which is Anglophone,
mm-hmm.
is a little bit surprising to me. However, I do know that the president of Ghana, also has a background in France, studied there, speaks French and all that. So I don't know, there could be a link there. But I think we just need, African countries need to begin to develop real, giving capacity to our own people so that we don't have this kind of thing where people can begin to look at, because this looks to me like a new coloniality.
Hmm.
And we really need to begin to think in a way that we can build capacity in-house,
okay.
in-plant, and enable our people. The third one is about the cryptocurrency. I don't know much about it, but I think some studies I did show that the fear is not being able to trace money. As you know, money should be traceable.
Mm-hmm.
Any money that you spend, we should know where it is coming from, we should trace it, the source and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks as if the cryptocurrency would not enable that. I think that's the challenge there.
No, but you can actually trace cryptocurrencies.
Well, I think some experts also say, the real issue that the CBN has been having as they've been raising, has been
can't trace it. But you see, that's why I talked about what China is doing. China thinks that this is good for government because crypto allows transparency, because every transaction is recorded and tracked. So the government knows who owns every wallet. They know who is sending money to whom, because they can work with the exchanges. The same way America is doing as well. America is working with the exchanges, so they know who owns which wallet.
Sandra, if you look at it very well, the U.S. itself is not supporting this scheme. So if they are not, then that means there is some question mark there.
No. They are actually supporting it, but they're looking for a neat way to do it.
But the secretary of Treasury doesn't seem to support it, and she's speaking for the U.S. government itself. And I think from what I've been reading, the government doesn't seem to be so keen about this.
So here's what is happening with the US, right? So they're allowing it, but they are allowing it in a very regulated space.
Okay, fine. Maybe that's what we should use, regulated and traceability. Once we're able to trace it, then I think we are good to go. But once money is not traceable, then all sort of things will happen. sponsoring this, sponsoring. I mean, you know what I mean. That's what I should be saying on her. So that seemed to be the challenge.
Yeah, Paul, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. By the way, if you just joined the show, BlackRock, like I mentioned earlier, did I mention BlackRock? Have I mentioned that? No? Okay, let me tell you about them. They are the world's biggest asset management company. And they just announced that they have Bitcoin in their portfolio. Over $300,000 worth of Bitcoin. So even institutional investors are embracing cryptocurrency now. And speaking of asset management companies, I told you Zcrest, who brought you our third story, is an asset management company. So tell us what Zcrest has to offer.
Okay, so the huge question isn't about what you want to invest in as a potential investor, but it's more about who you choose to invest with. You know, nobody wants to throw their money around. And with the huge army of unregulated asset managers around, people who promise unrealistic returns, but yet they tell you little or nothing about the associated risks.
Right.
So what Zcrest Investment Manager Zinvest is doing is they are ready to support your wealth creation journey. That fund you have, that asset you're looking at investing, they are giving you options that are well researched so you can invest in them. And they are, and we can actually beat our chest to tell you that those options are safe, they are secured, they are regulated, and they have all the regulated options that come with it. And we link you up to those investment opportunities for you to easily invest your money, and we give you potential returns on your investment.
Okay. Now, how can we reach you if we wanted to reach you? What numbers can we call? What email can we... How do we reach Zcrest Asset Management?
Okay. Before I go into that, it's important that I let people know that... if you happen to be among the first 1,000 people that download the Zinvest app, you get to earn some cash.
Oh.
And with the Zinvest cash, the Zinvest app, you can use that to easily locate funds and where investment opportunities where you can put your money into. And like I said earlier, those opportunities are well researched. As experts that Zinvest is, we're letting you know that you're bringing in your money to us. We're giving you returns that are well backed by our research team. And like you said, you can visit us on www.zinvest.com.ng to get started. And you can also send us an email at ax@zinvest.com.ng. Or you can speak with any of our private wealth managers at 0700-02-00220.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today. Let's take another break. When we come back, I'll give you a chance to win some money.